The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
A proposed constitutional amendment has passed in the California Senate, legislation that would close the budget gaps between school districts. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges with the story.
The Education Equalization Act would have California voters deciding whether or not to amend the state constitution to create a new reserve account dedicated specifically to increasing per pupil funding for underfunded non-basic aid school districts.
The Senate's passage of SC 85 is a major step forward in addressing school funding inequities that California has struggled with for decades.
Currently, how much is spent on each student in the public schools is determined by where you live, your zip code, Senator Dave Cortese.
It creates a new protected funding source so that over time, we can actually begin closing these gaps.
Some school districts spend nearly $30,000 per pupil, while others are half that. Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
No city in California is moving faster than San Francisco to slow the traffic outside its schools. As KCBS's David Welch explains, police are watching to see who's paying attention.
School is starting up again in the city. Drive past any one of the campuses and the signs say something new. State law gives California cities until 2031 to lower their school zones. Mayor Daniel Lurie says San Francisco got started early.
We are lowering speed limits around 200 schools from 25 miles per hour to 20 or to 15 miles per hour, thanks to new state legislation.
Outside Leonard Flynn Elementary, a camera on Cesar Chavez Street has cut dangerous speeding by more than 90%. It's one of 33 across the city. Police Chief Derek Liu says they're deploying more officers to enforce the limits.
The speed limit is 15 miles per hour in school zones when children are present. So again, please slow down.
Liu says officers will be out the entire school year, but he says drivers already slowing down won't notice a thing. In San Francisco, David Welch, KCBS.
California lawmakers are considering a major crackdown on social media and AI companies, specifically around how they interact with kids. Here's KCBS's Scott Cohen.
One bill would make it illegal to give kids social media accounts with features like infinite scrolling, auto-playing videos, and algorithm-driven content, which the bill calls addictive. Another adds stiff financial penalties, as much as $1 million per child for companies found to have caused them harm. Jim Steyer is founder of the nonprofit Common Sense Media, which advocates for kids' safety online.
So that's a major win for kids.
Yet another bill would add new age verification requirements for AI chatbots on top of restrictions that took effect in January.
Chatbots have created enormous challenges. This is a child talking to a machine.
Even OpenAI CEO Sam Altman admitted that's tricky when asked on the podcast Mostly Human about when he'd let his 18-month-old son start interacting with AI.
So I don't know when I would let him talk to AI, but I'd rather be on the late end of what's reasonable there.
Social media companies, including Facebook and Instagram parent Meta, have rolled out a host of parental controls. An industry trade group, NetChoice, has called government controls unconstitutional. Scott Cohn, KCBS.
If you're still looking for something to do this Sunday, you've got about 3 hours left on this one. San Francisco's dahlia growers are showing off their best blooms in Golden Gate Park. KCBS's Shannon Golden with details on a two-day show which celebrated the city's official flower.
The San Francisco Dahlia Society has been holding its annual dahlia shows for over 100 years.
The shows then were even bigger than now, and the trophies given out were silver and engraved. We give out ribbons. They're nice, but they're not silver.
But the blooms are just as spectacular. There's over 130 growers vying for best in show this year in different color, type, and size categories.
Then we have what are called special categories, and those are arrangements, and we have themed arrangements. This year, they're all around the centennial of the Dahlia Society, so they're San Francisco themes.
There's one inspired by Lombard Street, Alcatraz, and even Coit Tower. Society President Eric Gensler says it's completely free to attend.
Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. We have some entertainment for children in terms of drawing and making things out of dahlia petals. And you can come take photographs of the dahlias.
And maybe keep an eye out for the ones you might want to buy at their tuber sale in April. In Golden Gate Park, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
There's been an increase in the number of COVID cases. As KCBS's Jennifer Hodges tells us, health officials are questioning the timing of vaccines.
COVID cases are currently on the rise.
COVID seems to have two opportunities to increase, one in the winter and another in the summer.
Dr. Peter Chin Hong, professor of medicine and infectious disease specialist at UCSF, says if you're over 65, immune compromised, or have a medical condition that puts you at increased risk, you should get vaccinated now and not wait until the fall.
Waiting for a future vaccine doesn't help you very much if you get COVID next week. The currently available vaccine may not be a perfect match for every variant circulating now, but the most important job of the vaccine is still to reduce the risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death. And the current vaccine, before the renewed vaccine comes in the fall, does a fantastic job of that.
Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
Baseball's All-Star Game is returning to Oracle Park in 2028, but as KCBS's David Welch tells us, the ballpark is about the only thing that will look familiar.
21 years separate the last All-Star Game here from the next one. Giants president Larry Baer can walk you through the gap without leaving the shoreline.
The Bay Trail that goes from Oracle Park out to Hunter's Point and passes an expanded UCSF, and it passes the Chase Center that wasn't here in 2007 when we last held the game.
Chase Center opened in 2019, and the trail past it came together a stretch at a time. Across the cove, a parking lot became Mission Rock, a neighborhood with its own waterfront park. Baer says that's the tour. It's also the argument. But he says the city's bid was with more than just a ballpark.
So we want to show off San Francisco's waterfront. We want to show off the region in a great way.
21 years to build it, two more to get it ready. In San Francisco, David Welch, KCBS.
The Department of Transportation is proposing new regulations that would make it more difficult for travelers to figure out the entire cost when booking a flight. Changes would not show the cost of extras like taxes, passenger facility charges, and a civil aviation security fee, not to mention checked bag fees and the cost of changing a flight. For a closer look, KCBS's Danny DiCrescenzo spoke with Justine Rapp Farrell, professor of marketing at the University of San Diego.
Why is this change happening, and what exactly will it entail? What will customers see going forward when they book their flights?
I think it's happening just to release a little bit more of the regulation that had been imposed about a decade ago. Consumers are just going to see a beginning base fare. And then when they go through the booking process, that's when they will all of a sudden start to see all of the fees and taxes that come into the price. Originally, what we've seen for the past several years is what that final price is expected to be. They're just rolling back that regulation.
So what can travelers do then to figure out the real costs of flying and not be fooled by that base rate and think, oh, I got this great deal, but actually no, when you add up all these extras that I mentioned in the intro, it's going to come to a lot more money.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just making it a lot more difficult for consumers to know what they're working with. Booking an air flight is already complicated as it is. You're trying to manage the day, you know, arrival destinations, the different arrival times that you're working with. And now it's adding on a little bit less price transparency. And so really to find that final price, you're going to have to start initiating the booking process to see what it'll look like on the back end. And that means if you're comparing four different flights or four different airlines, you're going to have to go through that process with each of them to see what that inevitable booking price is going to be.
Now, with that reduced transparency, I'm actually looking into a flight coming up in the not-too-distant future. Should I just go into my booking process with the understanding that whatever I see, I should add an extra 20, 30, 40% onto that base rate? Assuming this rule is in effect by then, should people just naturally assume that they're not getting that number they're seeing right away?
Yes, if this goes into effect, absolutely. And that's also the problem with it is that we are so accustomed to looking at a certain, you know, airline provider, doing the search and assuming that that's going to be what we're paying. But now all of those fees are going to hit us at the end of it.
And my bigger question here is this seems like the onus is going to be on the consumer now. They're going to have to be the ones to obviously book the flight, but figure out how much money they're going to be spending, especially if it's multiple tickets, if it's a one-way versus a round trip, all that stuff. What do you make of this sudden shift of the burden onto the consumer when before it just seemed like you look up the flight and the total is basically what you're going to be paying minus the stuff you might have to deal with at the airport if you have to check a bag or something?
You're exactly right about that. And that's why the regulation really was put in place when it was to eliminate some of that consumer confusion or perceived trickery from the airlines. It was meant to make the decision-making process clear, especially in airlines when you have dynamic pricing. You know, you may pay a totally different price than the person sitting next to you. And so the industry itself is already a little bit difficult from a pricing standpoint, that if we roll back this regulation, it's just making it even more confusing and frustrating for the consumer.
And we talked a little bit about strategies for consumers to just make sure they're ready. How can they not go into this process and get duped by a lower price or just fall into this trap of, oh, this looks pretty good, I'm going to go with this? What are some other methods beyond just assuming it's going to be more expensive down the road? How can you compare prices in a world where the prices that you're comparing, they're probably not entirely accurate?
It may be going back to the actual airline websites themselves. You know, sometimes people are using Google Flights or Expedia, and you can see all of the different airlines, and it's a very clear comparison between all the flight options. But that requires you then to take an extra step and go to, we'll say, Delta's website, complete the booking process. It may help consumers to say, perhaps let's pick our top five favorite airlines or airlines where we're loyal to and go through that process with them directly.
That's Justine Rapp-Farrell, professor of marketing at the University of San Diego. Nationwide, the cost of youth sports has gone up 50%. As KCBS's Atta Shaheen tells us, finances have changed how a lot of families are looking at enrolling their children.
Kids feel this pressure, and once their parents give that check, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on these kids to perform and do well, and they shouldn't have that stress at this young age.
That's UCSF's Dr. Nirav Pandya, a youth athlete specialist. He said that pressure is a side effect of youth sports in the Bay Area becoming prohibitively expensive for many.
Youth sports continues to have billions and billions of dollars associated with it. It's a job, and it's basically based on what can I gain from it at the end, as opposed to just going out there and having fun. And parents, unfortunately, are spending a lot of their income.
Said parents are looking at it transactionally, hoping for scholarships or even professional money down the line. But even just scholarships go to less than 2% of high school student athletes.
We need to shift the narrative and basically say, hey, it's okay to go play sports and have fun doing it. And you may not get a college scholarship, but you've had this great 4 years, and then you're going to be healthy and active for your entire adult life.
In San Francisco, Atta Shaheen, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.